There's something to be said for the Blockbuster video store of my youth. It was what we had in the suburbs, and it suited the way my mind worked. I liked encountering movies as physical objects dispersed throughout a large room, arranged down walls where the new releases went, and along shelves where the older stuff tarried. I suspect the image of walking through such a room will one day amuse my children. Still, I miss browsing those chunky, foxed VHS cases and, I suppose, their leaner DVD airs. You could wander and let your eyes fall where they fell. The supply of any given video was finite, which meant you sometimes had to figure out a plan B. You had to swivel, double back, hunker down, tilt your head. You could be aimless in a Wordsworthian way. You could meander. This aisle, maybe, or that one. Couples paralyzed by indecision stood around like Vladimirs and Estragons. And this was in boring old Blockbuster, a corporate chain. Surely the better art house, non-suburban video stores presented their patrons with real rabbit holes to fall into, real opportunities for reverie. The aisles of the Blockbuster were themed, though less aggressively, less knowingly, than the rows that march relentlessly down the Netflix homepage. A particular shelf didn't remember if you had selected one of its videos before, and thus didn't try to push a similar title at you. The real-world tiles didn't proactively rearrange themselves in anticipation of your unique wants. In lieu of tailored algorithms, there were a few shelves given over to staff recommendations. These challenged you to ignore the new release walls decorated by market forces and defer to the taste of an authority, or at least a part-time employee majoring in film. It was a Blockbuster shelf that showed me a copy of The Third Man, the 50th anniversary edition on VHS. The tape came sleeved in a beguiling black and white cover, irising around the image of Orson Welles. I hadn't been looking for The Third Man. I barely knew what it was, but I'd been eyeing that cover for some time. Or had Welles been eyeing me? I took the tape home, finally, and played it. I adored The Third Man. In time, I sought out Citizen Kane, Welles' most famous picture. The DVD came with two audio commentary tracks, one by filmmaker Peter Bogdanovich, protege of Welles. Bogdanovich's weary, deep voice speaking slowly over Kane transfixed me. It seemed to dredge, almost reluctantly, a deep and singular store of insights and anecdotes. It was a kind of anti-podcast, pocked with sighs and silences. It was enormously attractive. I sought out other Welles films, but also other DVDs that carried Bogdanovich's commentaries. The Searchers, Bringing Up Baby, and To Catch a Thief. For a time, I didn't watch movies so much as listen to Bogdanovich opine on the glories of the golden age of cinema. It was, I realized later, a rogue education. My friends and I made pilgrimages to downtown Toronto, to bigger stores like Sam the Record Man and HMV, and smaller concerns like Vintage Video. There were hesitations, flirtations. I passed on a VHS copy of David Lynch's Wild at Heart and then changed my mind, only to find it had wriggled out of the HMV and worse, out of print. Vintage Video, for its part, stocked hard-to-find movies at hefty prices. Half the time, maybe most of the time, you couldn't secure what you were looking for. The gruff, likable owner seemed to exist to assure you that the precious item you sought was long gone. Still, I walked out of there with finds that weren't, back then, easily findable. Eraserhead, Chimes at Midnight, and Cockfighter. One day, my friend Mitch turned up The Night of the Hunter. Stephen King's book about the history of horror, Danse Macabre, had dispatched Mitch on his own private quest for culture. It was, as the kids no longer say, good times.